Father, as always, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. Glory to God. And let that light shine in our hearts this morning on this day 7 of this convocation week. And we give you the praise and give you the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome everyone again. I'm going right to the lesson. We're going to take a scripture reading from the book of Isaiah chapter 58. We've been reading it throughout this week. I'm going to read some more of it today because this is the part that we're going to concentrate upon today. Hallelujah. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, saith the Lord, reading at Isaiah 58 and verse 6, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Well, you know, we have been dealing with that the last 4 days. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? That's another thing you should do. Feed the poor. And bring them into your house that are naked and so forth like that. And hide not thyself in thy own flesh. Then, here are some promises. Then, these are the things on this day 7 that we want to focus on. Your light shall break forth as the morning. Your health shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your shield on the behind. Then shalt thou call. When you cry, the Lord shall answer and say, here I am. Now, you must take away, though, from the midst of the yoke. That's right, we did that already. Putting forward the finger and speaking vanity. You got to do that, too. Now, draw out thy soul, he said to the hungry. Satisfy the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And what shall thy brightness and thy light be, saith the Lord? If your darkness is as the noonday, it shall be as the brightness of the sun. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought. The Lord shall make fat thy bones. Glory to God. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You know, there's so many promises that are packed into that place. If only the Lord will believe it. Even if you live in a place where there is so much hardship and a lot of things going on, and the people are just crying, some people have just given up hope, this promise is unto you. When you take time out and stay in his presence, he said that the Lord will satisfy thy soul in drought. Don't worry about how he's going to do it, but he will do it. And he'll make thy bones fat. That's right. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Hallelujah. Verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwelling. Hallelujah. Woohoo. If thou turn thy foot away from, the Sabbath from doing thy pleasure on my holy day and on a fasting day, and I call the Sabbath and the fasting day a delight, you call it, you know, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and you honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I, this is the Lord speaking now, point blank, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Jesus. What a marvelous pronunciation from the Lord. Now, let's take verse 12. I'm going to deal in this verse 12 today. They that shall be of thee shall be the old waste places. And thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, restorer of paths to dwelling. I want to deal on that last part today. Praise the Lord. Repairer of the breach. What is a breach? Well, let's look at various places, dozens of places in the scripture where it talks about breach. But I'm going to just pick out a few to bear out the points that I want to convey today. You know, a breach is like something, of course, that is either broken. Now, when we use the word broken, even here in the United States, it doesn't always mean that it's shattered in pieces. It could be that. But sometimes when people say something is broken, they just mean it's not working. They say, well, this thing is broken. It's not like the thing fell apart into pieces, but it's just not working. So they say it's broken. Well, you know, the breach could be, you know, cracks. It could be actually a break. You know, it could be something that's actually not working. I mean, it could be any number of things. I mean, let's look at the most serious breach that we find in that Bible. And of course, I'm going to talk about a few others. The most serious breach that we find in that Bible, we find it in Numbers 14 and 34. Because the people, they refused to obey the Lord and to go forward. And the Lord said, go forward and go in and possess the place. They said, we can't. You know, we are not able. We're like grasshoppers. The people are like giants, and the land will consume us. And they just brought an evil report, and they made the hearts of the people to melt. And only two of the 12 that went out to search out the land gave a good report, Caleb and Joshua. And so the Lord was angry with them. You know, many times when the word breach is used in connection with the Lord, it's about his anger and his hot displeasure. And so here he says, look, after the number of days, Numbers 14 and 34, in which you searched the land, they went out there for 40 days to search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year. So the Lord is going to put, you know, a punishment upon them now. 1 year for every one of those days. So for 40 years, he said, you shall bear your iniquities, even 40 years. As if that's not enough. I mean, if that was the only thing that they had to do, oh, that's okay. After 40 years, you still come back into his favor. But the Lord said, no. And ye shall know my breach of promise. Now that's the most serious breach in this entire Bible. That something that the Lord promised, which we know God is not a man, that he should lie, or the son of man, that he should repent. We know that the thing that's gone out of his mouth, he said, I will not alter it. We know that. But in this place, he actually did, because of the people's disobedience and refusal, you know, to go forward and to sanctify the Lord in their hearts. You know, they themselves caused it. The Lord didn't say, I will breach my promise. That's not what he said. He said, ye shall know. That's right. You will experience a breach of this promise. The Lord didn't breach anything. It was there the whole time. But in order for you to inherit and experience the blessings of God, you got to enter in by faith. When the word is preached and it's not mixed with faith, it's not going to do anything. And it will be tantamount to a breach. It will be as if it was not promised. But it was promised. But, you know, the two things must happen to a promise for us to inherit it. Well, sometimes maybe even three. Number one, we must know that it was promised. If you don't know what was promised, then it's not a promise to you, because you don't know that it was promised. Number two, Your word must be mixed with faith in your hearts. If it's not mixed with faith, it's not going to do you any good. And number three, sometimes there is a condition, one or more conditions to that promise. You know, so, but if any of those things, one or more of those things are not fulfilled, then the promise might breach. But not from God's side. He's already done his part. He's already finished it. And, but this was a serious breach of promise. And, you know, the story of the children of Israel, in fact, if you ask anybody today who knows anything about the Bible, what do they know or remember most about the children of Israel? It will be this coming out of Egypt. That's what most people will remember. This business of coming out of Egypt, supposed to go to the promised land. It's a big, massive story. You know, many chapters in the Bible. You know, but at the end of the day, unfortunately, many of those that came out, except for the young ones, did not get in there. You know, that was a massive breach of promise. Now, there can also be a breach of walking with God. And that's a lifetime thing. Remember, this platform is called Walking with God. And there are people that we have looked at in the Bible that walked with God. And what their end story was. Now, how do we breach our walk with God? Well, we walk away from him instead of walking with him. We turn our backs on him. In this case of breach of promise, we saw that they did not hallow the word of God. They did not believe the word of God. They did not go forward when the Lord said, go forward. When the Lord said, you are able, they said, we are not able. You know, then the Lord said, okay, fine. You will not be able then. As you have spoken in my ears, so I will do unto you. Now, another way that we can breach our walk with God is to walk away from him, turn our backs to him. Jeremiah 32, verses 30 and 33. In this case, the Lord is calling out again, you know, saying many things. I mean, the Lord wanted to be married to these children of Israel. And he loved them with an everlasting love. But they did continually provoke him. They did evil before him all the time. Until he had had it with here, I mean, up to here, you know. And many times they provoked him seriously to anger. So in this case, this is what he's telling them. He said, for the children of Israel, Jeremiah 32 and verse 30, the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. That's all they do, continually, just provoke the Lord, you know. And you drop down here to verse 33, it says, and they have turned unto me their backs, rather than the face. Well, rather than walking with God, they turned away from him, you know. Though I taught them every day, rising up early and teaching them, sending prophets to them, doing all kinds of things, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. So now that's a serious breach. You breach your walk with God by not following the ways of God. That's another breach. Now we're going to cover these breaches first before we cover how to restore the breaches or how to repair them. So that's another serious one. Number three, broken relationships. You know, I mean, there's so many. God wants us to have relationship not only with God, but also with our fellow man. We'll see that even when he gave them the Ten Commandments, there were, you know, commandments that were towards God, and there were commandments that were towards people. You know, all the commandments about honor your father and mother, you know, thou shalt, you know, not covet anything that's thy neighbor's. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not kill. I mean, all these things, you know, which Jesus summarized and say, love thy neighbor as thyself. You say that's, you know, all of those things are summarized in there. You know, that one is towards our relationship, you might call it a horizontal relationship. The other one is a vertical relationship with the Lord. You know, choose the Lord thy God as your chief joy and let him be number one in your lives. Have nothing else before him. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all of that. That's number one. Number two, deal with your fellow, you know, people. So relationship with God broken. We covered that in Jeremiah 32. Now, relationship with people also broken. I'm going to cover that as well. Because God wants all those things, relationships upward, sideways, to be good. Number four, you know, there are also breaches. You know, when relationships are broken, that's another breach. When things are broken in our own lives, we've been trying to cover that the last 4 days, but this is a like kind of a wrap up. Things that may be broken in our lives, crooked things. When things should be straight, they are crooked. You know, when, you know, it just seems like there are gaps in our lives. You know, things are just not working right. You know, there are, the Lord talks about, you know, I will make straight the crooked places in Isaiah 50, 45 and 2. You know, the, God just reminded and go back and give the scripture for the broken relationships. Well, let me just give one scripture. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 says, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, you know, for they shall be called the children of God. What's a peacemaker? You know, let me talk about that for a minute. OSB just said, you know, talk about that for a minute. So let me talk about that for a minute. There are sometimes that dissensions may be so strong between people. It could even be a matter of opinions. It could be something that they disagree over. You know, it may not be, you know, outright hatred. Outright hatred, we know, is a thing that should not even be present. But even some people have, they're so passionate about whatever position they hold versus what the other person holds that it just brings complete dissension. I mean, people are broken away from their church home for that reason. Other organizations have started, they broke away from this one, they broke away from that one for those reasons. Sometimes dissensions are so strong that people just walk away from each other. You know, it happened to even Apostle Paul, his closest companion. You know, they were so, you know, whether they should take Mark or take this or that argument, you know, they walked away, although they sorted it out later. You know, so when, you know, these things happen, but restoring and repairing the breach is the ability to bring that back and restore that relationship. Now, people, you don't always have to agree on everything, you know, but I mean, why should your disagreement break fellowship? You know, fellowship should never be broken just because you don't agree on something. I made up my mind a long time ago that I would not break fellowship just because we disagree. Now, you know, there are certain things that we, you know, will break fellowship, which you shouldn't even have fellowship with at first anyway. You, light and darkness cannot fellowship together. So we know that. But both of you are in the light. Here is a brother saved by the blood of Jesus, cleansed and so forth. Here is another sister. Here is another brother. You are both in the light. You're all in the light. But you disagree on one thing or the other. You know, so it's not light versus darkness in this case. It's just, you know, we allow the human nature, allow the devil to get in there and take advantage. That's the one I'm talking about. Those ones should be mended. We'll talk about that in a bit. Now, broken things in our lives, that's another breach. You know, when things are broken, things that should be straight, they're crooked. Things that should be sweet, they're bitter. You know, that's a breach. And we need to repair those things. Now, another serious breach from the Lord is when God has, just like he did in Numbers, when he's seriously angry and strikes out, You know, God doesn't always do that because he is slow to anger, full of compassion, and gracious and merciful and so on. But sometimes he will. Occasionally, just to show an example. Well, the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 8. This man Uzzah, when they were carrying the ark, you know, he wasn't one of the priests that was supposed to carry the ark, but he wanted to help the ark because the oxen stumbled, you know, and the ark was like about, it was almost going to fall. And that thing was serious because even David was displeased, you know, because, I mean, he had ordered the ark to be brought back, you know, after, you know, it was in the land of the Philippines for a long time. So the ark is now being brought back. And all of a sudden, I mean, this was supposed to be a day of joy, you know, but there was a breach that day. Because their joy was tainted by this thing that God struck down a man in the midst of all of this. I mean, that is a serious thing, you know, to consider. But consider it anyway, because it's here in the Bible. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. But what happened? Can read it, you know. Let's read a little bit of it. This was the place where David played, you know, before the Lord, all manner of instruments, harps, psalteries, timbrels, cymbals, and cymbals. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 5. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it because the oxen shook. It was as if the thing was going to fall. So he tried to help the ark, and God's anger was kindled against him. And the Lord smote him there for his error, and he died there before the ark of the Lord. My goodness. Wow. I don't know what that would have done to all of the people. You know, and David himself was scared. That day, he was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall I bring the ark into my house? So that was a breach, and that breach was caused of the man's error. Well, I tell you what, that man did not know the grace and mercy of God, you know. So he was someone that was walking, you know, beyond his understanding of God's grace, you know, and unfortunately, he met with the severity of God. That's all. There's the goodness of God and his severity. You know, his goodness and his severity. You know, you can experience his goodness, but also there is his severity. You can deal with that. And David was a man that understood his goodness. And David could go and take the showbread, which was not lawful for him to take. And God didn't do anything about it. Jesus even testified of it. But this other man, unfortunately, he didn't understand any of that. And that's why Jesus said, look, you know, if you only knew, see, that's the secret of it. If you only knew what it meant that I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. See, once you understand that, that doesn't give us, you know, license or liberty for anything. But you understand the mercy of God. You throw yourself completely at the mercy of God all the time. David understood that. You know, when David sinned in numbering Israel, God already said that this Israel shall be like the stars of the sea and the sands and so forth. I mean, stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. And David went and numbered them for whatever reason. The devil stirred him up to do that. And God was angry with him. But, you know, he was a man that God already chose, so God couldn't, you know, easily just destroy him. But God gave him three choices, you know. But he said, look, I don't care, you know, I'm not even going to look for any other options. I don't care any other options. I want the one that carries the mercy of the Lord. Don't put me in the hands of my enemies. Don't do any of these things because I'll be finished. Put me in the hands of the Lord because he's a merciful God. Now that's somebody that understood the mercy of God. When you throw yourself at the mercy of God, you know, even when you have done evil, you throw yourself at the mercy of God. which is what this journey that we are on is all about. We've all done evil from our great, 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 great forefathers, even from Adam until now. But we throw ourselves at the cross. That's right. And we understand that that's what separates us from anybody else. It's not that we're better than anybody, but we've thrown ourselves at the mercy of the cross. We say, Lord, just like the thief on the cross, all the evil that he did, he was even being crucified, had been condemned to die, he was bleeding out, but he threw himself at the mercy of the Lord and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Just remember me. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the Lord had remembered us in our low estate in Psalm 145. May the Lord remember each one of you in the name of Jesus. So that's another bridge that, we're going to deal with today. Now, let me quickly talk about restoring paths to dwelling. You know, because he said you will be the repairer of the bridge. During this time of fasting, many things should come together. Or as a result of the fasting, it may not happen during the fast, it may happen after the fast, but it can begin during the fast as well. You know, restorer of paths to dwelling. Well, let's talk about the path of the Lord. You know, what is the path of the Lord? Well, let's read Psalm 25. We're going to read a few verses here in Psalm 25. Turn with me, if you have it, to Psalm 25. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5, and then verse 10. You know, David will talk about the path of the Lord here. And I'm going to bring the significance of what that means in a minute. You know, Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. So that means God has some paths. Okay? And he said, lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day. Then you jump down here to verse 10. It says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenants and his testimonies. You know, so, you know, the Lord has paths. And we got to figure out what those paths are. And when people have wandered away from those paths, we have to restore those paths. And when you seek the Lord and, you know, you really are desperate for him, especially during a time of fasting, he will cause you to find your way back to those paths. So the paths of the Lord, paths to restore, paths of righteousness, he talks about also in Psalm 23 and verse 3. It's the same thing. You know, he leads me paths of righteousness for his great name's sake. You know, the paths of righteousness, the paths of the Lord. Now, the path of the Lord is different from the ways of the world. You know, that's right. The ways of the world, they're different. Jesus characterized them by saying, well, the ways of the Lord, which are not the paths of God, they are like, you know, a broad way. Many people are, you know, streaming down into it and they perish. Well, the path of the Lord leads to, you know, this straight and narrow. It's like straight and narrow. Very few people find it. Well, let me talk about the paths of righteousness and the gates of hell. When you are on the paths of righteousness, the goal is that it will get you to the most holy place where you are one-on-one united with the Father. Like Jesus said, John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. That's our goal. You know, I mean, Jesus was the blueprint of the sons of God. He was not going to be the only son, but he was the blueprint. So if he and his Father were one, then the goal for us is to be one also with him. And that's the goal. So when you are on the path, this walking with God is a life journey to put us on the path of righteousness. The goal being coming all the way from the profane place through the outer court, you know, into the holy place. And then finally, in the most holy place where you end up at the mercy seat above the ark. That's the goal. and you are in that place, one person goes in, one-on-one, no in and out, that's the goal. You know, but the path of righteousness that you are going through on that journey, the gates of hell will try to close that gap. I mean, close those paths. It's like, you know, when you're going on a, you know, on a trip on a highway and so forth, and all of a sudden you get to this toll gate and you can't go through. And it's a toll gate. I mean, they just put the thing across the freeway. And, you know, it's a toll gate. You can't go through. You got to pay some fees or whatever. But just imagine, let's say the gates were closed. You couldn't go through. You know, you go through on some roads and sometimes all of a sudden there is a bar across the road. You can't go through because the train is about to cross or something. You know, so those are gates of hell that are trying to prevent you from getting to the goal. That's right. You are on the path of righteousness, but the gates of hell are closing in. I've watched, you know, I've been on the road, watched, you know, when the train is coming, I've watched those gates suddenly, slowly drop down. The alarm is going, the sound in the alarm, and the gates are closing, you know, just closing. It happens on some cities where they have drawbridges and so on. You know, the gates of hell are closing in to make sure you don't get through. And you're on the path of righteousness. You got to deal with the gates of hell. But Jesus gave us a wonderful promise. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. It doesn't mean the gates of hell will not be there. And as a matter of fact, there is a constant conflict. That's why Jesus uses the word prevail. You know, for you to prevail or not prevail, it means you are in conflict with something. You are in combat. You know, you can either prevail. I mean, you can be, you know, the victor, you know, or you can be the vanquished. You know, it's one or the other. You know, so, but Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So we know there is a constant battle going on. But the battle is one, knock you off the path of righteousness, knock you off the path of the Lord, frustrate everything that you are doing, make sure you can't get through, discourage you along the way. He has a lot of tools, discouragement, fear, unbelief, many things that he uses. Discouragement, one of his great number one tools. And this was the thing with the children of Israel. They were discouraged, they became fearful. They say, we can't do it, we can't go in, and all that. You know, so, but the Lord said, you know, that the gates of hell, I will build my church, saith the Lord. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, a couple months ago or so, or several weeks ago, I don't know how long, maybe several weeks ago, the Lord told us on this platform, come build with me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something else today. You know, there is another path that the Lord wants us to be on. Job called it a path which no foul or unclean bird knoweth. Job chapter 28 and verse 7. And these are the paths to dwell in. Now, this verse reminds us of peeping and muttering spirits that are always trying to engage in your life. You know, there are tokens of the liars. We've covered that many times. They're trying to make sure that, you know, your life is not working or bring evil or evil suggestions and all kinds of things, you know. So, but here is the way that Job puts it. He said, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye has not seen. Well, those peeping spirits, those muttering spirits, those evil birds, that's a path. It's called the path of the Lord. There's a secret place in Psalm 91. That you can be, and you can have a shield, you know, from all these things. Well, one of your greatest shields, actually, is the shield of faith. But one of your, another shield is for you to walk in the light. You're walking in the light. You have the light of God inside of you, and you will not stumble. Even if there's no light around. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, look, are there not 12 hours in a day, and so on? You know, they count their days for 12 hours rather than 24. Are there not 12 hours in the day? And he said, look, well, if you walk in the day, you will not stumble because you can see the light of day. Right? John chapter 11, verse 10. You know, but if you walk in the night, you will stumble, not because you don't see the light, but because there is no light in you. isn't that amazing? Well, let's read it together. John chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he seeth the light of life. That's everybody, believers or not. You know, the sun is shining, it's daytime and so forth. You can see clearly. You know, that's for everybody. You know, you don't need a flashlight. You don't need anything. You can see where you're going. Now, in the night, though, it's different. You know, if a man walk in the night, he stumbles. Why? Not because there's no light around. Well, we know there's no light around. But Jesus didn't say he stumbles because there is no light around. He said he stumbles because there is no light inside of him. Hallelujah. Now that's a deep revelation. If you understand that, then you know that, look, gross darkness may be all around you. Doesn't matter. The light that is inside of you gives you a light of day. That's right. And you will never stumble because that light, not only is the light around you, that's not the thing. The light is inside you. This man stumbles because there is no light in him. So when you have light in you, you know, that's one way that you stay on the paths of righteousness. Now, what are we talking about today? Two things. Let's repair the broken bridges today. Every time that we have dishonored the word of God, let's confess it today. And let's do differently going forward. It's not really that hard to believe God. Just believe God. I don't know why people find it hard to believe God. You know, just believe the Lord. You know, practice faith all the time. It becomes easier and easier as you go along. Just take him at his word. There's a song that says, it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. You know, just to take him at his word. Just take him at his word. He says it, just take it. You know. Now, every time that we have breached the promise due to our unbelief, remember, in the book of Jude and also 1 Corinthians, you know, he tells them that, look, the same people that God brought out, you know, I would not have you ignorant that after he had brought them out from the land of Egypt, you know, and so on, he later on destroyed all of them. You know, you can read that in, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1. Through fire. And he said, look, God was not pleased with them. And these things were written for our examples, you know, he said. So, let's repent of every time that we have dishonored the word of God. We've not sanctified the word of God in our hearts. Now, God doesn't take these things lightly. You saw what he did with the great man of God, Moses. God gave him instruction one way. He did a different thing. You know, and, God takes this thing very seriously. And he didn't enter into the promised land for that. Yet God honored the striking of the rock. He didn't tell him to strike the rock that second time. You know, but God honored it anyway. And all the things that Moses was so angry and said, shall we bring water out of this rock, as if he's the one that's going to do it and all that. And, you know, God was so angry with him. He said, look, you did not sanctify me before these people. You know, you should have spoken to the rock like I told you, because the rock was Christ. And you can't strike that rock more than once. You know, so you're not going in. He pleaded about it and God said, no, enough. You're not going in. That's another breach right there. You know, but, you know, it's very important that we stay with the word of God. It's so vital. Stay with the word of God. That's the antidote to this. Breach number one. The second breach that we talked about, our walk with God, where the Lord said, these people have turned their backs against me. You know, What's the antidote with that? Well, the antidote is, come walk with me, saith the Lord. That's it. Come walk with me. You know, how do you do it? Well, by immersing yourself in the Word of God, in prayer, in praising the Lord, in fasting often and so on, and staying in the light, fellowshipping around the things of God, and so on and so forth. It's a decision and deliberate choice that we must make, and we must be intentional in walking with God. There was a man called Enoch, and this room was patterned after his story. He walked with God, this house called Walking with God. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, we're told that Enoch, we didn't hear very much about Enoch. We know he was the seventh generation from Adam, you know, but there wasn't a lot of stuff told about him. But suddenly, you know, the scriptures focused on him because there was a tremendous lesson that we would learn from his life. And what is that lesson? Well, let's read it from Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. Now, whatever Enoch was going to figure out, it took him 300 years to figure it out. But he did. During those 300 years, ladies and gentlemen, he was having children. So, you know, raising a family is not an excuse not to walk with God. You know, some people, they excuse, well, my kids, my this and that. People have all kinds of excuses. This man had sons and daughters, had a wife, had everything. But that was no excuse. He still walked with God. And he was going to figure out how to get back what Adam lost. Because all of them asked Adam the same question. What are these cherubims? What are these things that have this flaming sword? Why can't we go in there? What's that place anyway? And Adam would say things like, well, son, I'm sorry, that place is closed. We lost our right to the tree of life and we're just waiting to die. And then, you know, all of them said, wow. And they went on. And none of them, not a single one until Enoch engaged the essence of that lesson. But when Enoch came along, asked Adam the same questions. Hey, what are these things over here? Hey, come sit over here on my lap. Young man, I'll tell you. And he'll tell him some things. And he said, you mean you had power like that to go talk to the animals and do all these things? You could even go under the sea. Everything obeyed you and so on. I said, yeah. Why would you give all of that up? I want some of that. I said, son, I'm sorry. You can't go in there again. We're just waiting to die. You know, we lost our chance. And then I could say something like, well, I mean, did you tell God you were sorry? Did you ask for his forgiveness? He said, well, you know, I really didn't. You know, I just blamed my wife. You know, my wife blamed the other one and so on. I said, why? But some things, you know, something went on in this young man, Enoch. Something went on in him. When he was about 65 years old, he figured that out. Finally, he went back and said, look, you know, Adam was still living. You know, how do we get in there? I said, you can't. Well, I said, well, we'll see about that. I'm going to figure that out. And then he began to pursue God. I want back in that place. I want some of that, all of that thing that Adam lost. I got to get it back. And the Lord wouldn't answer him at first. You know, because see, when you begin to seek the Lord won't answer you at first. He wants to see how desperate and how determined you are. That's why he said, when you seek me with all your heart, not just some of your heart, you know, and then when you get to a place, there's a line that you must cross. This is the way I teach this lesson. Every time I teach it, some of you have heard it. There's a line that you must cross. And fasting helps you to prepare yourself for crossing that line. When you cross that line, And God says, yeah, now he's ready. And at that point, there's no going back and forth. It's not step over the line, step back, step over. No, when you cross that line, you keep pressing. See, the more you press towards the light, the less of the darkness you have. See, where we are right now, the light is too dim, you know, because it's like a light spectrum. Over on this left side, there is death and darkness. Over on the right side, there is light and life. And we are on this darkness side when we're born. And our journey is to move towards that light. And the closer you get to that light, the less and less of the death and darkness you have. You know, but you must keep pressing towards that light, no matter how distant it looks. At first, the light is so dim. You got to keep pressing in. You know, got to keep pressing in. You go enough towards that light. And as you are going towards that light, you are being changed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You are being changed from glory to glory. One day, you get enough, close enough to that light. You know, it's like a force field. You know, it's a force field. You get close enough and you are changed into a complete light. You'll be sucked in like that and you're gone. That's what happened to Enoch. It's gone. Glory to God. You know, if anyone wants to experience that, you can. Well, it's, you know, I don't know if God will let you, but you may, because, you know, these things are in the Bible. You know, but Enoch experienced it. And Enoch didn't have to wait for the group translation. All of us are waiting for group translation now. But who knows? But if there's somebody that can figure things out like Enoch, maybe the Lord will take you like that. You know, now people don't believe that kind of stuff. And if you teach that kind of stuff, they say it's heresy. Well, it's not heresy as long as it's in this Bible. It was in this Bible. Somebody did it. He figured it out. And he got in that light. And he went. And he was gone. Another man called Elisha, he figured it out too. Now, Elisha was a different kind of man though. Elijah was a different kind of man though. He liked to make an entrance. And he liked to make an exit too, you know. So his own was like chariots of fire and everything, you know. His life was, but there are two people that are gone just like that without seeing death. So we know it's possible. But this walk that Enoch was on, you know, was on that path of righteousness. And he started to figure things out. The devil tried to knock off that path. And so we must restore our relationship with God. You know, whatever it takes, go back to your first love. Maybe you used to get up in the night to pray. Maybe you used to set time apart for Bible study. Whatever it was that you used to do, which you're no longer doing. The Lord said to the church in Ephesus, well, you've done all these great things, but I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. You repent, therefore, go back to your first love, unless, you know, otherwise I'll come and remove your candle. Seek from its place. So you better go back to your first love. Take me back, Lord, to the place where I first knew you. So that's repairing the relationship with God, our walk with God. We must also repair relationship with others. For there are two great commandments. And if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. So one great commandment is your relationship with God. The second great commandment is your relationship with people. Some people think that the other one doesn't matter. But John the Apostle, he wrote it in his epistle, said, look, if you say you love God, whom you have not seen, but you can't love your brother and get along with them, who you see every day, and then say the love of God is not in you. And if you hate your brother, then you are a murderer. He talked about all these things. You know, so restoring those relationships. You know, sometimes, you know, you just got to reach out. There's also broken relationships between parents and children. You know, a lot of those, you know. There's broken relationships between husbands and wives. Many times that ends up in divorce. Very sad. You know, parents and children. The Lord promised that at the end of the age, you know, according to the book of Malachi, he said, look, I will restore this relationship and I will cause it to come back again. How is he going to do it? Well, Here's how he promises in the book of Malachi chapter 4. He said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Jesus kind of alluded to, he said, well, John came in the spirit of Elijah. But the spirit of Elijah will return at the end again to breach one particular relationship. You remember, Elijah was the one that tried to bring all the people back to the Lord after they were following Baal. 450 prophets and 400 prophets of the group. And he said, Lord, let the children of Israel know today that you have returned their hearts to the Lord. He brought them back, you know, and the spirit of Elijah will return again. And in Malachi 4:6, he will turn the hearts of the children, of the fathers first to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. That's right. You know, that's a relationship repair again between parents and children, particularly fathers. It's going to take the fathers to humble themselves, get off your high horse, and reach out to your children. That's exactly right. Just like the story of the prodigal son. The father was always out there looking, waiting, looking. When he saw him afar off, he ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he wouldn't even hear any of it. And the boy was still rattling on this and said, I don't want to hear any of it. You are my son. I'm going to restore you back to where you belong. Now, the father must take the first step. Just like God. God took the first step. Romans 5:8. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So, while your children are out there wandering away, you got to reach out to them and love them back in. That's right. That's the only way they're going to do it. But God, we have a promise. The spirit of Elijah is returning and God's going to do it. Now, there's a promise also that God gave, you know, for us parents, mothers, fathers, whomever. This promise you'll find it in Jeremiah 31. For the children that are lost at the moment, wandering away and so forth, wherever they may be, doesn't matter. The Lord has promised that he will bring them in. Jeremiah 31 verses 16 and 17. Thus said the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded. You know, you've been laboring over these children. You know, you've trained them. The Bible says if you train them, right, they will not depart. But they have departed. Well, so you keep on believing and God's going to bring them back. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Even if they do depart, they shall come again. And the end of the story will be as if they never departed. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. That's relationship repair. God's putting the anointing upon the fathers and the parents to do this. Reach out to their children. And God's going to do it. It's part of what we are praying for, trusting during this time. Broken things in our lives, crooked things and so forth. We got to trust God to fix those things up, and he can too. Prayer and fasting will help us get the victory and to avoid also, you know, error in trying to do God a service, but not being in the will of God. That's what Uzzah did. He was trying to do God a service, but he was not in the will of God. So, you know, don't try to do anything without understanding the will of the Lord. Now, let me quickly go and cover these parts of the Lord. You know, the sons of God, Revelation 14, verses 4 and 5. At the end of the age, they will walk with Christ, like Enoch walked with God. He said, these are they that follow the Lamb, that's walking with him, wherever he goes. Hallelujah. And Jesus demonstrated that when he came here, physically. He always had some disciples around him. He was always going around with him. And he chose three of them sometimes to even go with him when he didn't want to take everybody. He was always having those disciples around him, you know, and we can walk with God closely like that and always be around him. Now, here's what's going to happen if you know how to do it right. If we confess our ways, confess all the times that we have dishonored his word by not believing, and, you know, ask for his grace to do better. You know, I don't promise anything that you're not going to keep. He doesn't like that in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. He said, look, don't make a vow that you're not going to keep, because God is not interested in fools. A fool is somebody that vows something and doesn't do it. God doesn't want that. But if you do it right, you know, and here's what's going to happen if you know how to do it right. You know, you cross the line in loving him and keeping his word. To love him is to keep his word. That's it. You know, if you don't keep his word, then you can claim you love him all you want. It doesn't mean anything. John chapter 14, verses 21 and 23. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Point blank. But what will happen to the person that loves him? Well, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And then the disciples, you know, they're saying, wow, why will you manifest to us? Because he's trying to claim like they are the ones that love him and keep his commandments. And not to the world. And Jesus further went to explain to him, like, look, if a man loves me, this is the premise. He will keep my words. It's that simple. And if he keeps my words, my Father will love him because they're honoring the word of God. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, this is a deep subject. And if you understand it, this is the line that you must cross that now make God to come after you. You're the one seeking God, but at one point you cross that line, he's now coming after you. That's exactly right. I will come to him, my Father and I, and we will come and make our abode with him. Because you've crossed that line. You've crossed that line, which very few people can cross, and very few people in this life, you know, find it. But if you can cross that line, it's no longer you just seeking the Lord. Now he's coming after you. Glory to God. You know, because something is drawing him. The deep calls unto the deep. You know, the deep part of your life is when you are honoring, you know, the Lord like this. And that's what he said in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. And we're going to close with that, and then we're going to pray. You know, and the Lord said, look, I was talking about many things, but this is the one I want to talk about. You know, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hands made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But this is the man or woman to whom I will look or come after, even to him or her that is poor and of contrast with humble and trembles at my word. That's what draws God after you. Now, if you say it doesn't matter, there's a lot of people say it doesn't matter. They read something in the word of God, say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, you've already disqualified yourself. You know, but he that loves me will keep my word. And he that keeps my word will be loved by my Father and me, and we will come after him and make our abode with him. And Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. You know, and say, hey, will you let me in? No, we can't let him in because we're too busy trying to live our own lives. You know, that's not a message for unbelievers. That's a message for the church. Standing outside the church. You know. So, but if you open up your heart, let him in by obeying his word. I was writing to the church in Laodicea. They were already believers. You know, but they still, Jesus was still outside. So, we're going to pray now. And individually, you will pray for yourself. Our prayer today is, Lord, forgive my you know, the trespass of my iniquity for every time that I have doubted your word. That's number one prayer. Number two, for every time, Lord, that I have strayed away from the path of the Lord. Number three, for every time that I have contributed to offense. The Bible says, look, offenses must needs come. But woe unto that person by whom it comes. Now, if you are a contributor to an offense that caused a breach between you and your sister, or between you and your brother, fix it. But the Bible said, even look, when you come and bring your offering, and you remember that there is a broken breach between you and your brother, even if you are not the cause of it, even they may be the ones that just have aught against you. Well, there's never usually a fire without smoke, or smoke without fire, rather. So there's something. It may be a misunderstanding, but that misunderstanding will never be cleared up until you do something about it. Maybe it will work, maybe it won't, but do your part. And blessed are ye when you are peacemakers. You'll be called the children of God. Hallelujah. Even heaven will recognize you as such. So let's pray these prayers. Prayers of contrition at this moment. Let's also pray the prayers that the Lord will keep our eyes single and our eyes on the prize, and that we will find that path that no fowl knoweth, no vulture's eyes have seen, that we will find and stay on the paths of the Lord, the paths of righteousness that are leading us straight to our union with God, one-on-one. Gates of hell shall not prevail. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to lead the room in this prayer. Just one prayer, no raising of hand or anything. I'm just going to pray over the room. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And you pray along yourself, for yourself. I pray, Lord, for every one of us, myself, number one. For every time, Lord, that we have doubted your word, despite the fact that we've seen it over and over and over and over and over again. But yet, certain situations, like Jesus said, believest thou this? In certain situations, Lord, we have doubted your word. We have caused a breach. We confess, O Lord, for thou art a merciful God. We throw ourselves at your mercy. Have mercy upon us. In Jesus' name. During this time, O Lord, as we have afflicted our souls, Father, we pray, O God, that you remember us in our low estate and quicken our minds. Help us to believe the Lord all in and not partially. And for those relationships, Lord, that are broken, give us the wisdom and the inner fortitude, the strength, the humility to take these steps towards reconciliation. For the relationships that are broken between sister and sister, sister, brother, brother and sister, and all of that, pray, Lord, that you help us. For relationships that are broken between parents and children, the parent is at loggerhead. Children are at loggerhead with the parents. Parents are on their high horse. Won't come down to the children's level. Pray that you help us, O Lord. Give us understanding concerning these things. During the time that you fast and you pray, God will tender your hearts. And part of the benefit is you become a repairer of the breach. And restorer of paths to dwell in. We have played the role this time around to show you the paths to dwell in. And you yourself will become restorer of paths as well. And you restore those relationships, then you can truly be called the children of your Father. Men will also call you the priest of the Lord, ministers of our God. Thank you, Father, for all of this enablement. Now the Lord says to every one of us, come walk with me. Hallelujah. And those that are taking my word and not the word of the evil one, like Eve did, they shall walk with me in white, saith the Lord. Yeah, Come walk with me, the Lord says. Let's stay on the path of righteousness and let's walk with him. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And he was translated so that he would not see death. But before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. For those that must come to God must believe that first he is, and he is also a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. May the Lord give us understanding concerning all these things. In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to pray a prayer for everyone that has been in this time of fasting and prayer with us, that the Lord will bless you and redeem the time for you. Now, when you call Jesus Redeemer, then you call him by his name. You can redeem anything. You can redeem time. Hallelujah. Now I pray that the Lord will redeem for you the time that you have spent in prayer, in fasting, the things that you have done for the Lord during this time. The Lord will redeem the time for you, which means, you know, the Lord knows ahead difficult situations that you will face coming up. Something that will take you hours, naturally or normally. The Lord, by the inspiration of the Almighty, will make you complete it in 20 minutes or less. Things that will have taken you days, the Lord will make you do it in an hour. Yeah, that's redeeming the time. That's what he does. As you put that time in his hands, he will bless it and put it back in your hands, and it will go a long way. You can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes, bless it, put it back in their hands, and it will go to feed thousands. May the Lord reward everyone that has been in this time with us with all of the prayers that you are answering. I mean, that you are asking the Lord. The Lord hear you. Glory to God. In the days ahead, especially in the time of trouble. When it counts the most, the Lord be with you. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. Send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. The Lord remember all thy offerings and the time that you have spent in the Lord, with the Lord during this time. Hallelujah. Grant thee also according to thy own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, O Lord, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord will fulfill all your petitions. Now, hallelujah. I know that the Lord will save his people. He will hear from his holy heaven because we have sought him with all of our heart and with the saving strength of his right hand. While some may trust in chariots, others may trust in horses, some may trust in people of influence, and that's right, and so on, princes and things like that. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. While those people that trust in other things, they will be brought down and falling. But we that trust in the name of our Lord, we will be risen and we will stand upright. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And before I close, let me just say this thing, that just because this is day 7 and last day of the convocation doesn't mean that your walk and consecration with God has finished. It's just a beginner. This was an opener to draw us in. You must stay consecrated. That doesn't mean stay fasting every day, but stay consecrated. Consecration doesn't mean fasting. There is consecrated fasting, but consecration doesn't mean fasting. Consecration just means focusing on the Lord, getting rid of distractions. There are many distractions that come our way from day to day. May the Lord grant us the grace to stay focused. And remember, it was after his fasting that the devil came at him. So have your senses up, your antennas up, because the devil will try to come with temptation. But the Lord will give you the grace, and then the angels will strengthen you as well. And you will go away with blessings every single day. Thank you, Father, again, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.